Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, third hour, Teak and Tierney, coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Thursday around the country. Summer's flying by. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM Channel 206. Many platforms, radio.com, YouTube, at Teak and Tierney. On Twitter, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. Barry Tremble coming up next segment from the Thunder, the reporter, columnist for the Oklahoman. He's got a long-running riff with Russell Westbrook. And lucky for Barry, he'll probably get some answers next year from the star player because Russ ain't going to be on the team. So they'll have a different star that will probably answer his questions. Yeah. But we'll get Barry coming up
probably
next.
A young star who's just trying to learn. But we talked yesterday, BT, at least I brought it up to you yesterday. The American or the Atlantic League, which is an independent league, was going to test stealing first base.
Yes.
That same league, which has a three-year deal with Major League Baseball, last night debuted robot umpires for balls and strikes.
How did it go?
It's a system called TrackMan.
Okay.
For the most part, it was right on task.
Similar to Quest Tech. Did they reference Quest Tech in the article?
They did reference it, but that's not what this is based on.
Okay.
It's based on a Doppler radar system in all Major League ballparks already. Because we see it on television, et cetera.
Talk about like when the ball kind of permeates, it's just there.
There's a different
dimension.
No, there's a different tracking system that sits above the batter's area that basically measures the size of a batter. Because obviously, your strike zone being 6'2" is different than my strike zone being 5'9". So it finds the strike zone, and then as balls and strikes or whatever pitches come in. Based on the TrackMan Doppler radar, it gets registered to a system called the TrackMan system that then gets told to the umpire who's behind the plate. So the umpire still is behind the plate. He's just not actually...
He's just regurgitating what's being told
Somebody's
to him?
Telling him balls and strikes.
That's the most useless job in the world.
The umpire, I forget his name was Brian DeBrouwer or something like that.
If he's not going to call him the strikes, I don't even think his name really matters.
But here's what he said. Listen to what he said.
He said,
this is his quote. Okay. Until we trust this system 100%, I still have to go back there with the intention of getting a pitch correct. Because if the system fails, if it doesn't pick up a pitch, or if it registers a pitch, it's like a foot and a half off the plate as a strike. Mm-hmm. He has to be prepared to correct it.
Okay.
So in a sense... It's because they're still in the testing phase, and this is what it's for.
Sure.
You're Atlantic League, you're in the testing phases. He's sitting there doing his job as he would always do his job. He just can't speak until somebody speaks to him or he knows that it's way wrong.
So basically he's D-cell when somebody comes in to learn how to run the board and D-cell sits over his shoulder for 3 hours.
Exactly.
Doesn't say anything unless he messes up.
Unless he messes up.
And if he
up.
Doesn't mess up, then we have an engineer for,
right.
For the weekends or
whatever.
That's
exactly right. Now, you didn't like this. But if this
that sounds...
Now, we'll find out. I'm going to give it like 2 months. We're going to find out.
What's the data spit back from last night? Did they say it was 100% accurate?
They didn't give any feedback. I'm sure they will in the next couple of days because this just happened, 15 hours ago.
Okay.
But if this comes back and it's like 100% correct, they nailed every single one, will you change your mind on this? Because look, the umpire still has a role. Right, because somebody has to verbally sit back there, strike, or just stand up, say ball, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's still got to communicate it.
Or balk,
exactly, or any of these other things that happen.
Foul tip,
batters,
catcher's interference.
Exactly, he's still got to do those things, but you just get balls and strikes precise. And shouldn't sports be about precision?
Fundamentally, it should be.
If it's 100% correct, they do the data analysis after however long they test it, and it's 100% correct, are you still going to be against it?
I don't know that it's ever going to be 100% correct, though, because there's still an element of subjectivity to the strike zone.
I know how it's
defined. The old way was really from the armpits to the base to the middle of the shin.
Yeah.
Like a little tick below the knee. Is that how they're going to reinforce it? I want them to show a diagram, and I want everybody to be familiar with
it. Because there's two systems, just to reiterate. Yeah. The one that's tracking the pitch and the one that's looking at the body of the hitter.
Correct.
That's the one that there could be some subjectivity.
I would think so. Now, here's the thing. If the leadoff hitter digs in, and he's 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
And then the second hitter is the right fielder who's very thin, but is 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Is there an immediate recalibration? Like,
yeah, I think so. I think that's what they're saying.
I mean, that seems like there's a lot waiting to happen to go wrong. I just don't like it. Why I don't like it, it just seems overly quirky. I'm certainly in the business of getting it right. I'm certainly in the business of leaning on technology. But this guy's like a puppet there.
But how do you know that an umpire adjusts to the guy? I just saw a guy who's 5'9", walk up to the plate. This is I identified his strike zones. The first one I've seen today, a dude walks in who's 6'4" next. And he's like, yeah, I still got that little strike zone. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. But the reason why they're bringing in the robot
yeah,
is to avoid the subjectivity of the strike zone from umpire to umpire or umpire to batter variance.
Yes.
So, I listen, if they could prove that this works, okay.
Nice.
You know.
Nice.
I guess. But he's always going to be there. Even if it's perfect, he'll always have to be there.
He has to be there because he's got to, you know, call balks.
There's a ball. When there's a play at the plate. There's a play at the plate. There's a foul ball. You know, here's the thing. If it hits you in the batter's box, like if I hit a, say, curveball and I just nick it,
yeah,
and I'm still in the batter's box, that's a foul ball.
Yeah.
If I'm out of the batter's box and I'm running and it hits me, I'm out.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
You've got to have somebody there within that proximity to decipher. I guess I could get on board with that. I'm not going to cause a stink. I mean, listen, I'm transitioning with my thoughts. I already waved the white flag.
That's
on.
That's right.
I got to stop. I'm done with protecting the record books. I can't do it anymore. It's just beating me down. So I guess this is the next step in the evolution of data usage and getting it right.
Way to not be a Luddite.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever that means.
Adopter to technology.
Contextualize. I know what it means based on the contextualization of the sentence, but I don't think I really knew what that word meant otherwise. All right, so let me hit you with this now. I got something for you.
Go ahead.
As I read, not surprisingly, fewer fans are going to games in person. Financial news site 24/7 Wall Street used sports attendance data from ESPN over the past 10 years and found every one of the four major sports leagues in the United States has seen a decline in total attendance from 2008 to 2018.
Wow.
Decade. Every one of the four major sports, but not every team's losing fans at the same rate.
Yeah.
Clearly. How about this one? Of the 12 franchises, this is where it gets interesting, of the 12 franchises in the four sports to see that biggest decline in attendance, four were from the NFL. So it's a little surprising given the overall power of the NFL. Not incredibly surprising when you factor in what we have for years.
Yeah.
The in-game experience, not as good as your basement or the man cave. We get all that. You know, you want to bet. You want to do red zone. We get all that.
And the stats that we keep talking about with the actual action in a game, football game, is what, 11, 12 minutes?
Yeah.
And you're there
I think Sanders said that a couple of times. Sounds like that. Yeah. A lot of nothing. A lot of chains moving. A lot of looking around.
And the expectation is there's not a lot of nothing, that there's action. In baseball, you go and you're going to sit for 2.5-3 hour game. You kind of expect it to be that way,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's chill, having a beer, having a conversation
nature
in between
of the game.
Innings. It's the nature of the game.
Have a conversation.
Football is supposed to be, you know, action packed and
supposed
moving.
To be moving.
In actuality, it's not.
No, it's not. And of the 12 franchises in the four sports, as I said, four were NFL teams. Now the Redskins saw the biggest attendance decline.
Redskins.
That's not a real surprise. You know, if you asked me to identify
but
the team.
But they haven't been. I mean,
it's not about being horrible.
Yeah.
There's just, you turn on their game, there's just huge pockets, swaths of empty seats I don't care who they're playing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I feel like even the Giant fans and the Eagle fans and the Cowboy fans don't even bother infiltrating their stadium anymore.
That's a good point.
Like they used to.
That's a good point.
Let's see. The team led the NFL in average attendance in 2008. This is the Redskins. They led the NFL. Again, big stadium. 86,000 packing FedEx Field. In 2018, they're down to 61,000, a decline of 31.1%.
Wow.
You can measure it a couple of different ways. They built the stadium too big to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you work off the 61,000, which, again, represents a 30%+ decline from 2008, that looks ugly, and it's undeniably ugly.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Raiders, they average about 50,000 based on the limitations of the Jaguars' small stadium.
Yeah.
Bengals not particularly huge. So a lot of these stadiums are going smaller anyway. So the 61,000, and I'll look this up after you know, do what you got to do, is probably, I would say, I'm going to guess it would be 9th or 10th in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up for you. I would say it would be okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, Washington has a couple of things working against it. One is it is, for some of the money, at least the political money, it's transient. And so it's not like Florida, and I don't mean that at all, but there's a lot of fans that have the disposable income to spend money, which is then the ticket prices are increasingly going higher. You're not a Redskins fan because you're not from the D.C. area. You've moved into the D.C. area.
What if you weren't a Redskins fan during the John Riggins era? It was always packed.
Yeah, well, but it was different.
Same dynamic in terms of possible transiency.
But the money wasn't. The ticket prices weren't as high.
I got you.
Right, I know that's one of the issues with the Giants, to be honest with you, right? The stadium is big, but you can always get tickets because the ticket prices have gone so high. And so until they get really good again, which could be around the corner, or a guy like Saquon is really attracting must-see football, you're going to have availability of seating. And then the other thing, you know, there's two things I was talking about. That was the first one. The second one with the Redskins is that they haven't been real relevant.
No.
You know?
No.
I mean, they've had some good seasons, and Kirk Cousins got them to the playoffs, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like...
But it was never like the 11-5 season where,
exactly.
Like, this is a team I think can maybe win a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
It was always like
you're not
back
jumping
door.
Behind them. And even when Kirk Cousins took them to the postseason, everybody was like, we don't like Kirk. Let's get rid of him.
You know what I mean? I know. They always won the... It was always like the attrition of the never really their superiority.
Exactly.
That led them to the divisional wins.
Exactly right.
You know,
so it wasn't anything encouraging. Like, we got to get on board with
except
this
RG3.
Team.
If RG3 doesn't get hurt,
no doubt.
I would have liked to have seen that fan trajectory.
We thought he was changing the complexion of the sport.
Yeah.
Now, forget Washington. This dude is changing the sport.
Yeah.
And he got hurt, and to the detriment of not only the Redskins and himself, but I think also to that type of quarterback. It put him back a couple of years. I mean, maybe Lamar Jackson brings it for Baltimore, but I think
Ravens fans are going to be Ravens fans. I think are among the best fans in all.
No,
sports.
No. I agree. I'm talking about just that style of quarterback.
Like, oh, I got you.
Like we've had these athletic. You know, he's got to run a lot quarterback before, and it's like, he's not going to make it. RG3 came, and we were like, dude.
If he can make it,
this dude,
he's
if
gonna
he
be
makes
incredible.
It, he's going to change what we think about this type of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt, and it justified every question or doubt that we had about that kind of
quarterback.
He also
tore up his knee at Baylor. He was hurt before he came in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, look, he had an outsized expectation because of his Heisman Trophy years at Baylor and then his Rookie of the Year season, which was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his first game, he was running around like no one could catch him.
Did he have a touchdown run in that game?
Oh, he had a long run down the left sideline. I don't know if it was a toudown run or not. It might have been, actually.
I think it was like 60 or 70. It was like a long one.
And then he had like a 60-yard pass to, I forget who the wide receiver was, but he hit a wide receiver. He was like, dude, this guy could do it all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we knew he had a pretty good arm, too.
Yeah.
You know what? By the way, I got to call myself out. I was totally off on the 61,000. That's actually horrendous. I mean, the Rams average.
This is last year.
Yeah, this is last year. Bengals average 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks average 54,000. The Raiders average 57. The Colts 59, and the Redskins 61, which would have been 27th best. I thought maybe 9 or 10 or 11. No, I guess I undersold the size of some of these stadiums.
The Colts.
Again, that was. Yeah, the Colts are definitely, and the Colts were prominently mentioned in this article. Let's see.
That's an interesting one. That one's relatively surprising, to be honest with you.
Can it be something, you know, economically? I mean, we've been to Indianapolis I was just there for the Big Three,
maybe.
And it's a great city that treats us well, but, you know, maybe. A lack of disposable income.
Maybe.
And it hurts a state like
Midwest,
Indiana hard.
Yeah. You're in the Midwest, the industry, manufacturing is left in a lot of regards. Maybe. Those are those socioeconomic factors we don't always, you know.
We almost never factor them.
Never factor them. We think where they're immune to it. It's not.
No, for sure. And, you know, listen, we're going to move on. We'll get to Barry Trammell coming up, do a little thunder, see what's going on with Westbrook. But I would imagine, Teak, if you and I had this conversation 3 years from now, these numbers aren't going the other direction.
No, I think you're right.
Maybe for the Redskins, if Haskins becomes the guy. But I think there'll be three or four teams that will just take the place of the Redskins It is what it is. I don't think it corrects itself anytime soon. Do you?
I don't.
People enjoy staying home.
It's interesting because more money is coming into the league. The revenues are going up.
Yeah.
But people aren't actually clamoring to go sit at a game.
It's not the way to go watch a game.
Yeah.
You got to go to the bathroom. It takes 40 minutes.
That's
and by the way, you piss everybody off when you, excuse me.
Yeah.
You got guys looking. I got to go to the bathroom. What do you want, dude? I mean, you got to get a beer. It's $19, whatever it is. It's crazy. You know? So we know the factors, but still love football. Just love it on our couch a little bit more these days. Barry Tremble, Thunder, Westbrook, next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Okay, what is the next move for the Oklahoma City Thunder? Now, internally, there's been reports that there was some fraying at the relationship between Westbrook and Paul George. We saw what happened there. A gentleman who's been in the middle of it, although he can't really get an answer from Westbrook. That whole relationship is odd. We've had him on the show before. Barry Tremble, a good reporter out there for the Oklahoma. He's back here on Tiki and Tierney. Barry, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, gentlemen.
Well, let's start with this. The reported, I don't know, again, just fraying of the ropes, for a lack of a better description. Some people have kind of bought into that. Others have refuted that. What was, at the end, the relationship between George and Westbrook?
As far as I could tell, it was fine. There was nothing, either chemistry, personal, relational. The only problem seemed to be just the frustration of not succeeding. You know, the two of them, 2 years together, they go to Utah or play Utah in 2018 in the playoffs, favored, don't advance.
Mm-hmm.
Play Portland this past April, favored, don't advance. And I think that's just what happened. It seems to me just the frustration of not being as good as everybody thought they should be and what they thought they should be as well. Just sort of mounted. And when Kawhi Leonard came and cast his siren song, you know, that sounded pretty good to Paul George. You know, it's a great situation, even if things were glorious in Oklahoma City. It's, you know, a chance to go home and play for what appears to be, at least, the NBA favorite next season.
Yep, I get it. And, yeah, listen, it makes sense. It's a magnet, and it came out of nowhere. And, you know, the Thunder were able to meet his, I don't know if it was a demand, a request, however you want to frame it. Here's my view of the Thunder, and it's largely positive, but I want to tell you what I think has really gone wrong, Barry, and you're around the team, so tell me if I'm off base here. Sam Presti, they draft well, great fan base, incredibly, I think they insulate the players well. The biggest issue is that whether it was Scottie Brooks or now Billy Donovan, who I like, I just don't feel as if they've ever had the perfect coach, and a lot of that has allowed Westbrook to do whatever he wants. And nobody checks him. Nobody reels him in. And at this point, 10 years in, 11 years in, you're not going to reel him in. And that's the problem.
I would say you're driving down the right boulevard. I just don't know what coach is out there that could rein him in. Maybe Doc Rivers, Greg Popovich type could do that. You know, somebody with just the ultimate standing in the league, the ultimate status. You know, probably could have some sway. But two things. One, those guys are not very many, and they're hard to get. So, you know, I don't see who could fill that role. And you're right, it's past the point of no return. Russell Westbrook, for all of his glories and all of his faults, he is what he is. And he's 30, going to be 31 in November. He's not going to change now.
Nope.
So it's a little late to be doing that. Of course, all NBA superstars are hard to coach, I think.
Yeah.
Russell is on the extreme, though, of that spectrum.
Okay. Talking to Barry Tremble, who covers the Thunder. He's been out there a long time, obviously quite entrenched in the communities. Writes for the Oklahoma. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Barry. When you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder over the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, they got to the NBA final, and they had a ridiculous team if you look at it in retrospect to now, right, with Durant and Harden and Westbrook. And it seems like after this offseason, all three of those guys are going to be gone. Durant, obviously Harden, they moved on from him, but Durant left, and now it looks like they're trying to move Westbrook. What's going to be the legacy of this Sam Presti run here? Because they got close, but they didn't quite get it, and they end up with no stars at the end of it.
Well, it's going to be a look back, I think, over time as a great run, but missed opportunity. They didn't win, and there are a few franchises in NBA history, collections of talent where they didn't win. You know, Stockton and Malone never won together, or apart for that matter.
Yeah.
And throughout NBA history, you have sort of pockets of that where really good teams and sometimes even great teams just don't happen to get it done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You're right, they had their chances. Could have won in 12. You know, they had a 1-0 lead and home court advantage in the 12 finals. 13, Westbrook gets his knee banged by Patrick Beverley. They were the number one seed in the West that year.
Yep.
14, they got taken out in a great six-game series by the Spurs, who proved to be a fabulous team, just waxed the Heat in the finals. 16, they had the great Warriors down 3-1 and were up 9 in game 6 in the fourth quarter and just let it slip away. So they had their chances, and in the NBA, if you're not the Lakers or a dynasty, you get the chance, you better take it because it might not come back.
Yeah, and it feels like that's where this is. And the other thing that you add, those three guys that I mentioned, Harden, Westbrook, and Durant, they all won MVPs.
Reggie Jackson was there too.
I know, but
these guys won MVPs.
Yeah. And they were all on one team at one point, and they missed out on the opportunity. It's unfortunate because I don't know if it's probably one of the most unique situations in all of NBA. And now that brings us to now. Shouldn't Westbrook move? What's this rebuild going to look like?
Well, part of it depends on what are they going to get for Westbrook. I have to say the rebuild with the George trade, you have to look at that as pretty good.
Yeah.
Not only did they get 5 first round draft picks, which is a stunning amount, but they got a decent player, more than decent, but a 1-year guy in Danilo Gallinari. They might be able to trade him at the trade deadline. For a contender that needs a shooter. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a wonderful prospect, a 20-year-old point guard. The Clippers, the reports out of L.A. were that the Clippers refused to put him on the table for even an Anthony Davis trade and put him out there for the Thunder only when it became apparent they might get Leonard and George. They, even for just one of them, they weren't going to deal with Gilgeous-Alexander, but for both of them, they took the risk. So that's a great trade to get restarted.
Yeah,
depends on what they get for Westbrook. It's that contract is so burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
38, 41, 44, 47 million the next 4 years.
Wow,
roughly 34-year-old point guards who rely on their athletic ability. Not a great bargain at $47 million. So,
well, Barry, that's why I think
it's a tough one. It'll be a tough one to move.
Yeah.
Will they be able to get something back? Can they get Tyler Hero and Justice Winslow from Miami? The Heat are not going to want to give them that. But in the end, if they want Westbrook bad enough, maybe they will.
Well, I was going to say it was imperative they got all those first round picks that they did back from the Clippers, because I said to Tiki yesterday on the show, I think it's incumbent upon the Thunder to give whomever they trade Westbrook to a first-round pick. I really believe that, Barry. $47 million for a chucker who's not efficient and whose game is built on speed? No, you better give me a first-round pick.
It's not out of the question that they could send one of those picks with Westbrook.
Yeah.
There you go.
Especially if they get some assets back. They actually have 2 of Miami's picks coming up. They have 21 and 23 of Miami's picks. One of those is lottery protected. I think it's the 23. I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
But, they might. It might be a case of, they actually do a deal similar to what we've been talking about, except Miami gets to keep one of their picks.
Crazy, crazy. Let me leave you with this, Barry. It probably will wind up being Miami, but I think the Pistons are in the mix as well. Philosophically, Butler versus Blake. Who do you think would be a better running mate for Russ?
Hmm.
Blake Griffin clearly. I see problems with a Butler-Westbrook combination.
Yeah, we've been thinking
the
same. You're
talking about two dominating personalities, two guys that like to have the ball in their hands at all times. Now, Westbrook doesn't mind passing. He's led the league in assists two straight years. And when he had all those assists with Kevin Durant, people were saying, well, he's throwing the ball to Kevin Durant. Well, Durant's been gone, and his assists totals just go up.
Yeah.
So he's a phenomenal passer, and he's a great distributor. He just likes to have the ball in his hands at all times to make those passes. Butler likes the ball in his hands too. That strikes me as a problem. But Pat Riley's a smart guy. If he wants Russell Westbrook, clearly he sees something. I don't happen to know what it is, but he sees something.
Barry, good stuff. Good Always. Stuff, Barry. Appreciate you hopping on. Good insight. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Okay. Barry Trammell, been around a long time, writes for the Oklahoman, does a lot of TV out there, so good intel. We'll see.
Do you think it's ugly for a couple of years in Oklahoma City? I'm talking about like
no, I don't.
30 wins.
I don't.
Or is it immediately, are they okay?
I believe that they will have immediate positive returns. Hmm. I really do. And his point about flipping Gallinari at the trade deadline, that's a pretty good take. I wasn't even really thinking about that. I didn't know if he had a year or two to go. I thought he may have had two. But now that he's got 1 year and this is it, you find somebody. I mean, Gallinari puts the ball in the hole.
Of course.
And he gets the free throw line, too.
No doubt.
So
he can be valuable for somebody.
He can. I could see him helping out a team like the Celtics. I could see him helping out a team like the 76ers. Mm. I really can. There's a couple teams Gallinari could help out. Point being, they got so much, especially with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's 20 and long.
Yep.
And you've got all those picks. I mean, they could still trade the big man, too. I mean, they could trade him. And yep. They got a lot.
They got options right now.
Thunder fans will be fine.
Yeah.
Thunder fans will be fine.
And even as no Westbrook, it will be exciting for them.
Yeah, different, exciting, probably more efficient.
No,
team right. Coming up next, Josh Norman running with the Bulls in Spain and still around to tell us about it. Barely. Get that after Axe Update, the blast. Here's Rich Ackerman. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Tiki trying to rap. Go ahead, turn your mic on there, tough guy.
Boom, because I go. Get stupid. I mean, I'll preach. Stay away from me. If you're contagious. No, I'm not a loser. The BNMC is what I choose. Girls adore me. I mean, even the ones who never saw me.
Skip a couple
like,
words. Didn't know that.
The reason why, man, I don't know. So let's go, cuz.
Oh, he's going to. Oh, no. Tracy. Get in here and stop your husband. It's embarrassing the show. It's official. That last move was unacceptable.
But that's what he does.
What the hell
that's
was
what he
that?
Does. That's what he does. Go look at the video.
No, I know, but just... All right, here we go. Let's blast. Blast away. The blast.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, D-Cell, we got like 11 minutes.
Get me
Does that mean
here.
We get 2 minutes for The Blast for each question?
Yeah, let's see how he rules the roost today,
yeah.
D-Cell. How about you read the questions today?
All right, let's read the questions. All right, Redskins today. Josh Norman runs with the Bulls and Pamplona. Should teams prohibit players from doing this? I don't think they should prohibit guys from going to experience the world and, you know, maybe being on the sideline
yeah.
of the Bulls running the streets in Pamplona. He wasn't actually on the streets. He was in the ring after the
I think
Bulls
that's
already,
worse.
Already corralled.
That's
but,
worse.
But they're damaged at that point. You know, they got the things in their necks.
They got about, yeah. That, by the way,
but
I can't get behind
I
that.
Can't
that's brutal.
I can't
They
either.
Just keep sticking it
with
that.
But he's got red
out.
The problem is...
Gord.
He's jumping
Gord?
Over the damn Bull.
I know.
Come on,
hey,
dude.
Still got, he's doing his plyometrics.
Hey,
he's got to get ready for the season.
Maybe.
Short bursts.
Maybe. No, they shouldn't prevent guys from doing stuff like this.
But if you get hurt, you get money back.
If you
Pretty
do
much.
Something idiotic like jumping over a Bull.
That is brazen, man. You couldn't. First of all, I
can
barely jump over the sidewalk at this point. But even if I could, I mean, you got to have big ones to even think about
yeah,
that.
I love experience in the world. Larry Fitzgerald is actually the king of this. In his whole over the course of his career, he's been all over the world, taking advantage of his celebrity and done
mm-hmm.
some things that you otherwise wouldn't think of doing.
Buzz so, him.
Good job.
Get a little
don't jump over the balls. I said 2 minutes, man.
Buzz him.
2 minutes.
DeMarcus. Oh, you're still reading. That's
DeMarcus
right.
Cousins has gone vegan.
Oh,
and he's
wow.
dropped a massive amount of weight. Last year he played at 270 pounds. And had gotten as high as 300
wow.
lbs in his career.
Okay.
What's the ideal weight for Boogie, BT?
Yeah, I'm going to say he did look thick. You know, he did. I would say.
Probably led to some of his injuries, too, to be honest with you.
No question about it. I think that there was some circle. You know, he probably would have. The injuries played a part in it. I mean, I'd love to see what he could do at 260.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to, because I just think he's. Some guys need the weight to be strong. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's naturally strong.
I agree. He's got like old man strength.
He
and I
does.
Think he's had it since he was in Kentucky, to be honest with you.
He's always been thick and naturally strong, and he moves guys effortlessly. Plus, it probably helps him on the perimeter defensively, which is what he needs.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the biggest thing that happens, I think, later in life for athletes is that you just naturally start to get thicker because just the evolution of your cells, metabolism slows down. The only way to stay young is to stay thinner and stay fit. It's the only way you're going to, I guess, defy the sands of time, so to speak. So,
I think your body.
260, 255, something like that. That sounds about right for him, especially as he almost hits 30. All right, you can explain this one to us, BT.
Okay.
Lamar Odom, Bonzi Wells, Baron Davis, and Jermaine O'Neal get deactivated from the Big Three for lack of participation. What the heck is going on? Why are they deactivating or dumping these inactive stars?
Because they ain't playing. And I think that there was a perception that, you know, Big Three.
But why are they not playing?
Because they're not in shape. And, you know, I don't think they're good enough at this point. Jermaine O'Neal, who I spoke to, I have to tell you about that. I don't have time to do it in the blast. What a comrade. Talked about the mouth, the pout, the brawl. She was really, really not what I thought. Jermaine O'Neal was phenomenal. The other guys are cooked right now. You know, Baron Davis, I mean, Lamar, we wish him well. Bonzi, I've seen on the bench, and he's a cool guy. But these guys aren't playing. And what Cube is trying to do, he's trying to further validate the league.
Yeah.
And if you guys, listen, it can't just be like a resort for old ballers to go and congregate and have a little fun. It's a competitive league.
And they're making how much?
I think you'd make $100,000.
Yeah, so if you're just collecting a paycheck to sit on the bench,
and
coach is like, hey, you got to get in there, and you're like, nah, I'm good, or I'm not in good shape.
You can't fool basketball fans.
No, you can't.
And the fans who come to watch these.
Especially when you get guys like Stoudemire.
Trying to get back to the NBA. Joe Johnson's
people. Crushing people.
Oh, yeah.
What's the dude with the beard we always talk about?
Which one?
Catino Mobley. He's out there
balling. Reggie Evans is playing. He's a beast as a rebounder. I mean, you got to stop
playing
the game. That's what he's saying.
If you haven't watched the Big Three, check it out. It's on CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network and CBS. Every weekend, you got to see it because it's actually
phenomenal.
Decent basketball.
This week, it's in Rhode Island. Next week, Rhode Island and Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weekend after that, and I'm going to be on that road trip, it's in Oklahoma City. And then we go to Kansas City.
Utah.
We're going to be on the bus with Ice Cube. I'm looking forward to that. Because they take you right to the... It's going to be sweet.
Just don't breathe.
No, come on.
They test your hair.
No.
Here
please,
at CBS Sports Radio.
Serious
Brewers,
man.
Padres, Astros are all inquiring about Mets star pitcher Noah Syndergaard.
Can you do the sentence again and take out the word star? Read it the way it's supposed to read. He's not
coming down in 3, 2, 1. Brewers, Padres, Astros, all inquiring about Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard. Should the Mets unload him? I mean, the Mets have had so many issues with so many different things, and there was a point. God, I'm starting to believe this is a Met thing.
What?
Think about Matt Harvey. Think about these studs that came. I mean, we thought the Dark Knight. I mean, I remember when he came in. Talking about Matt Harvey.
Yep.
You're like, he's got four pitches or five maybe that he throws with precision.
I basically compare him to Dwight Gooden when he first came in.
Exactly. Place him in the zone. If he wants to go out, he can put him outside the
filthy
zone. He's gonna be the second coming of whoever.
Dwight Gooden.
In New York.
Receiver.
Dwight Gooden.
Yep.
And it didn't happen.
No.
Thor, it's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Big, strong, got the locks. And for whatever reason,
just doesn't translate.
It doesn't translate. The Mets should move on because I think he's at the same. It feels like the same type of situation. Not with the New York. I'm caught in New York City lifestyle.
But that's a big difference. That's why you had to get rid of Harvey and try. Maybe you try to salvage Noah Syndergaard, who still throws gas, by the way.
But get something for him, right?
Well, they're gonna trade Wheeler. You can't get rid of Wheeler's gone. So you're not gonna trade Wheeler and Syndergaard. I would keep Noah. You know, he's certainly, when he's on, he's still pretty nasty.
Look,
he's not what we thought he would be.
This is a bad year.
Since the World Series.
He's been great. This is a bad year.
Last year wasn't good.
Should the bad year be the indicator for what to do forward, or should you rely on
It's a great question, but you got to look at it this way, Teak. We're getting to the point now where the uninspiring years are more in number than the good years. Mm. That's kind of what's happening to Noah Syndergaard.
That's what you worry about going downstream.
Yeah, I'm worried about it now. Forget about going downstream. He's not what he was supposed to be right now.
All right. None of the major stars playing at the John Deere Classic this weekend ahead of next week's Open Championship in Northern Ireland. That means no stars are playing in the John Deere Classic because they're waiting to go over to the Open Championship. Better to take the week off.
It's on CBS. Let's not undersell it too much.
Long travel. Or would you prefer the big names to be playing this weekend?
Why don't you hit this first?
I think it is a hike. I mean, this isn't like I got to go to Ohio or I got to go to, you know, wherever, the Midwest to go play a golf tournament. You're going across the pond, and it's disruptive to your sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why guys take the week off just to acclimate to now being up at like 2 in the morning. Or whatever.
Yeah, Tiger had the Nike commercial. See what he did?
Yeah, exactly.
He's up at 1 a.m. He's like, yeah, get ready for the Open Championship.
Am I okay? I'm okay with guys taking the week off, but I would rather see them play.
Yeah, here's the thing. There's two factors to me. Number one, it's a very, very much a different course.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, maybe Mike can check this out. I'm pretty sure Zach Johnson's won this event a few times, and Steve Stricker, because it's in, where is it, Wisconsin? It's in somewhere in the middle of
Illinois. We're talking to John Deere Classic.
And I know the last hole has that little lake. I've watched it. The lake to the left of the green is your approach shot.
Uh-huh.
But it's a different layout than the Open Championship. That's number one. So it could be a disservice to your game, firstly.
Yeah.
Secondly, some guys are field players and some guys are rhythm players. Some guys need to keep their swing on, like, angled, if you know what I mean. So other guys just show up and they're like, let's go. I mean, obviously, for a pro, you don't just show up. But it's not, you don't have to play. You can practice and simulate. So I don't think it's that big. Personal preference is my answer.
Yeah, and look, Jordan Spieth has won this
Jordan twice. Spieth, that was his first. I think he holed out from there.
I think you're right. So it's not like they regularly skip the John Deere because of the Open Championship. For whatever reason, a bunch of them did this year.
Yeah, okay. No problem with that.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Mike, who are the last couple of winners there? Zach Johnson win one or two? I feel like he won. Steve Stricker, who won there?
So Steve Stricker actually won three straight, 09, 10, and 11. Zach Johnson won in 12. Spieth won in 13 and 15. Mm-hmm. DeChambeau won in 17. Last year was Michael Kim.
Yes.
Who was last year?
Michael Kim.
If you were really good, how did they compare? What did they do at the Open Championship the following weekend?
So Michael Kim the next weekend finished 39th. DeChambeau finished 112th. And Ryan Moore in 26. I'm making all that
I
up.
Knew
I have
you were
no
making
idea.
That up.
But
that
was, I have no clue.
Effective. I thought I kind of believed him for
I
a second.
I did for a two. For a
Listen, this is why I'm good at poker. Dude, I'm a great liar.
Do you play poker?
Yeah, I play poker a lot in Arizona. I used to go to all these tournaments.
Like
a lot of money.
Casinos?
Casinos and then also houses and bars and all these other things.
Nice.
All these other things. We'll leave it at that.
I mean,
these other unsavory locations.
That last minute and a half of lying to us, you could have easily just Googled and got the answer to the question that
You know what's easier than Googling?
What's that?
Lying.
You know what's really easier? Knowing.
That's right.
That's the easiest.
Okay, so BT, how did Michael Kim do with
me? I can tell you this.
You had to know I was going to follow up that question. Because that's the genesis of the question.
The odds of us actually getting to the blast today was probably about 40%.
Why?
So I figured.
Why? Why?
Just because last week, I think we did the blast once. So, like, you know, listen, every now and again, sometimes, like, something takes over and the blast kind of goes the way of the dodo.
He sells very quiet today.
He is.
Head down, shoulder slumped. You okay?
He's like, I'm great.
Mm. That was a manufactured great. I'm great. Sure you're okay?
Cut off his mic, D-Cell.
What? My mic?
Yeah, so he can't talk anymore.
Hey, you could. I'm already happy. My guy went deep for the first time in his career. Over the fence in our backyard. First home run.
Nice.
So I told you that story to start the show. What do we got tomorrow? This week went fast.
Did go fast.
For
it's
a week
Friday.
Where there's not a ton going on.
We're going to get a Westbrook trade tonight.
No, we're not going to get it tonight.
We're going to get a Westbrook trade tonight.
We're not.
And we're
going
to have a lot to talk about tonight.
Miami?
He's going to Miami. We're going to talk about how bad. You nailed it that time.
Yeah, all feels good. Throwing those. Listen, you got to have a good pitcher to go deep.
You're fungoing. The fungos.
I'm doing it all. I'm hitting fungos in the backyard. I am. I'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.